It's so good to see everybody today. I enjoyed getting to visit with people as they came into the building. About the only thing I can compare it to is when I was little at Christmas time and you'd see your friends for the first time after they got their gifts and they wanted to tell you what they got. And haven't we been blessed with rain these last few weeks? Lots of visitors here. We're delighted to have y'all here with us as well. We are about to have a luncheon after our worship service today, not this evening, but today, and the rumor is fajitas, and so don't feel like you have to stay, is what I'm saying. Please stay, there's more than enough, and I appreciate Mike and Kimber for getting all that together, and everybody who's taken part in that. I was visiting with Christy as she was walking in. She and Brad just got back from Dallas, and I said hello to Christy, and Copeland comes up to me and says, "It's Mimi." So if you call Christy as name in her in Copeland's presence, it's Mimi. So, and don't forget that. 5 weeks ago, we were at the tail end of a drought. Didn't know it at the time. But in the time prior to that, we had had, I think, a little less than 14 inches of rain here in town in the last 11 months. And since the 5 or 6 months before that were winter time, and they were dry winter, as I remember, dry winter months, we had maybe 15 or 16 inches of rain in the last 17 or 18 months. And it was dry. If it had been up to you, how would you have broken the drought? If you could have gone into God's presence and told him, "This is what I would like," how would you have made your request? Here's how God did it. On the 24th of April, we got a tenth of an inch of rain. On the 25th, we got 1.65 inches of rain. On the 28th, 0.85 inches of rain. So in the next 6 days from that drought time, we got 2.6 inches. And everybody was happy, but we need a lot more, don't we? And it was good rains. Even the time we got over an inch of rain, it kind of came slow and steady. So much so that the next week, well, I guess it was nearly 2 weeks after that, but starting the next week, on the 3rd of May, we got 3/10 of an inch of rain. On the 4th, we got 2/10 of an inch of rain. And on the 9th, we got 15/10 of an inch. So we're up to 3 1/4 inches in town. And then we had something really unusual. On the 13th of May, for about 24 hours, it just kind of misted. And we got a little over 1/2 inch of rain. But the ground was so well prepared for that 1/2 inch of rain that we had puddles all over town. It looked like we'd had 3 or 4 inches of rain. I have never seen anything like that since we've lived here. Out of 1/2 inch of rain. And then on the 19th, we had 1.2 inches of rain. So now we're up to 5 inches. On the 20th, we had 0.2 inches. On the 23rd, 1.1 inches. On the 24th, 3/4 inch. On the 25th, 2.35 inches. It was our really first big rain that actually was so much that it ran off. On the 27th, 0.4 inches of rain. And this morning, just a little shower came up and we got about 1/4 inch of rain. If my math is right, and I'm not saying my rain gauge is right, I'm just telling you what I poured out of my rain gauge. 10.05 inches of rain in 5 weeks. And if the drought is not broken, it sure fractured really well. I was talking to Yancey as he came in because he was the one I knew that would know. I talked to Justin earlier and I asked him how much Meredith had come up because I always call Mackenzie Meredith. And he said he thought it was 8 feet. And so I asked Yancey, he said 6 feet. 6 feet. The lake has come up 6 feet high. in 5 weeks. And you look out over here, and it is so lush and green. And we have so much ground moisture right now that probably for the next 3 months, we'll be mowing just off of the ground moisture and the sunshine. The reason I bring this up is because there are times where we get a little bit concerned about the way God is going about things. And sometimes as He goes about these things, we forget to be thankful. It's easy to be thankful in times like this. In Psalms chapter 65, this is a psalm of David. He talks about going into God's presence, and he says, "There will be silence before you." Psalm 65, verse 1. "Praise in Zion, O God. To you the vow will be performed. You who hear prayer, to you all men come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you forgive them. How blessed is the one whom you choose to bring near you, to dwell in your courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. By awesome deeds you answer us in righteousness, O God of our salvation, you who are the trust of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest sea." How does God answer prayer? By awesome deeds. Verse 6, "Who establishes the mountains by his strength, being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples. They who dwell in the ends of the earth stand in awe of your signs. You make the dawn and the sunset shout for joy." And then, if I was going to say there's a verse in Scripture that will make farmers happy as part of the promise that's been given to us, this is that passage. Now, it's true that after Noah got off the ark, God promised him that never again would he curse the ground. So that's probably the greatest promise farmers have ever been given. But look at the blessings. If this is not the farmer's passage, I don't know what is. Verse 9, "You visit the earth and cause it to overflow. You greatly enrich it. The stream of God is full of water." This is one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. The stream of God is full of water. Whenever I see the drought that we're in, when we're in one, I think about this verse. The stream of God is full of water. "You prepare their grain, for thus you prepare the earth. You water its furrows abundantly. You settle its ridges. You soften it with showers. You bless its growth. You have crowned the year with your bounty." Isn't that a great verse? "You have crowned the year with your bounty. Your paths drip with fatness. The pastures of the wilderness drip, and the hills gird themselves with rejoicing. The meadows are clothed with flocks, and the valleys are covered with grain. They shout for joy. Yes, they sing." We've experienced that firsthand in 5 weeks. We've watched that. We know it to be true. We've experienced it all our life, haven't we? But maybe we've been more attentive this last 5 weeks than we had been in a long time. "Shout joyfully to God," Psalm 66, verse 1 says, "all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works." We love the way God has broken this drought. And I believe we have been extremely thankful for it. I've heard some of the most beautiful prayers in the last few weeks, including this morning, and some of the best comments, insightful comments about what God has done for us. We are thankful that He has broken the drought. It's been on our mind. And again, I understand that it can't just be 5 weeks. God understands it even better than I do. Have we been as thankful the last 4 years of drought? Have we gone before Him in prayer and thanked Him for the fact that He helped us through the drought? That no matter how bad things were, here we are. And while the paths may not have been dripping with fat, most of us can say we have been. We haven't suffered through 4 years of drought like maybe peoples of the past have. God has blessed us. We're thankful that He has started to break this drought. But are we as thankful for the big things? Because I will say this, in the panhandle of Texas, I think this is a big thing, but it's not close to the biggest thing. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. When you look at this passage in Hebrews chapter 12, and it says we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. Let me ask you this. Are you as excited, more excited for this than you have been this last 5 weeks of rain? Now, I realize when we've been without something that it heightens our awareness of our need for it. But I also have to admit in my own lives, there are times where I don't appreciate this blessing. We're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And there are times I'm not as thankful for that as I am for, say, a sugar-free brownie with extra frosting. Or things going my way, a bill being a little bit lower, a payment being a little bit higher. I wonder sometimes if because we are continually surrounded with the fact that we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, if it has become ho-hum. I wonder if when we gather around the Lord's table, if it's a time of excitement for us or just a time to pass, wondering how long the song service will last, wondering how long the sermon will last because we've got things to do. And we do have things to do, and we should be grateful for those things to do. But are we thankful? Since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. In the 100th Psalm, this is how the psalmist put it. It's a psalm for giving thanks. Shout for joy to the Lord. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. We're going to heaven. I always seem to think about this. I don't know exactly why, but whenever we have a new brother or sister in Christ and we're partaking of the Lord's Supper, anticipating taking the Lord's Supper, and I think about the fact this is going to be the first time that we get to commune with our Lord, remembering the sacrifice He made for us with our new brother or sister. It's been a thrilling week with Otto giving his good confession of his belief that Jesus is Lord, having his sins washed away. And now we gather together on the first day of the week and we partake of the communion together. What a privilege this is that we have. Do we recognize that? Are we thankful? Are we brimming with thanks? Because we need to be. The physical things are thrilling. The sugar-free brownies with sugar-free frosting. When I found that, after I couldn't have sugar anymore, I was thrilled. The rain has been thrilling. Loved every minute of it. But we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We're going to heaven, or we're not. This is the thing. If we're not thankful about this, if this is not at the forefront of our minds, or at least it doesn't leave for more than a little bit, maybe we're not receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Maybe our lives are not such as where we are in a covenant relationship with God. This thankfulness needs to overflow. This is one of the ways I believe that we know that we're in Christ, because we appreciate what He's done. Ephesians now, chapter 5 and verse 3. Among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, rather than thanksgiving. For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. I know a lot of y'all have just been watching lately what's going on in society and have just been appalled at what's going on. People are taking part in sin of some of the most appalling nature, and they're rejoicing in it. And if anyone suggests that they shouldn't be sinning, or to even suggest that their sin is not a sin, if there is anybody who dares not to celebrate their sin with him, well, there's trouble. Why? Because we live in an era, and I know these eras have come and gone, but we live in an era where sin is at the forefront, where sin is celebrated, where many people are much more thankful for sin and the pleasures they think they derive from sin than are thankful for the opportunity to receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. People are actually thankful for evil. Romans chapter 1. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and the wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. He's about to get into a long list of sins, and we're not going to read those sins. This is the part I wanted to point out this morning. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. And their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. When we stop having a heart filled with thanksgiving for what God does for us, and especially for eternal life, for the kingdom that He has given to us, our thinking is going to become futile. Because there will come a point where we think everything that we have of a physical nature, we gain by our own strength and our own might. And sometimes those will then take the focus of our lives, and we'll be focusing on everything from our blessings to our lack of blessings, and our thinking will become futile. Although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. This was part of the problem that led to all of that sin. The people ceased to be thankful. And so, as we stand here at the end of 5 weeks, where we've gotten anywhere, I think some places have got as little as 5 inches of rain in the past 5 weeks. Until today, that would have seemed like a ridiculous statement. As little as 5 inches? Some 10 inches or more. As we stand here with our hearts rightfully filled with thanksgiving and joy, we must not forget that we have something to be far more thankful for. During times of sunshine and rain, during times of drought, and during times of plenty, we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Are you thankful for that? The 128th Psalm says this: Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it will be well with you. Are you happy? Is it well with you? And I see, that's one of my good friends, Copeland. Well, I said, are you happy? He shakes his head, yes. Every one of us should be shaking our heads, yes. Is it well with you? The 116th Psalm, verse 12. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? And of course, the answer is we cannot. But we can try. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? Look at verse 17. We'll close with this. Psalms 116, verse 17. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. Are we thankful? Hard not to be thankful for the physical bounty we've seen lately. We would be ungrateful if we weren't. But we must be even more thankful, continually thankful, for the blessings that we have as part of the eternal kingdom that God has made. Now, if you're not yet, then you don't have a lot to be thankful for yet. Be thinking about that. You need to put Christ on in baptism. If you're ready to do that this morning, you will have something to be thankful for that's truly long-lasting. If you need the prayers of the congregation, we'd be delighted to do that. If you're like the vast majority of us who realize we have not been as thankful as we should have been, you can take care of that privately between you and God. You can ask for His forgiveness with thanksgiving and begin to live the rest of your life as a thankful servant of God who is going to heaven should. If you have any needs, won't you come forward and let them be known while we stand and sing.